Welcome to Packet Pushers. We are a community of engineers and architects building the enterprise, campus, data center, service provider, and cloud networks of the world. If your family asks what you do, you say, I make the internet work. Yep, that's you. And that's us. And thanks for taking a few moments out of your very busy WAN upgrade project schedule to listen to the podcast instead of the whiny old ITIL project manager down the other side of the room who's got a beard and looks like he's about 5 minutes away from expiring. Today, we have a sponsored show with Riverbed Networks. Oh yeah, you might be thinking that's WAN optimization. I know all about what Riverbed does there, but you probably don't know the new stuff that Riverbed has been doing in the last year or two. And this is the third show that Riverbed has sponsored with the Packet Pushers that looks at more than just the steelhead WAN gear and dives into the other stuff. Today's focus will be primarily on Riverbed's role in open source software. I'm Greg Farrow, and I am the host of today's show. This is the Packet Pushers weekly podcast. You can always find us on Twitter at @PacketPushers and via packetpushers.net. Joining us today from Riverbed are Brad Wood. Brad, please introduce yourself to the audience.
Hey, Greg. My name's Brad Wood. I'm a technical director at Riverbed, and I work on all things protocols.
Awesome. Charles, tell the audience a little about yourself.
Hey, Charles Kaplan, kind of a security geek here at Riverbed, work in the CTO office and figure out how we can leverage our stuff to either keep people safe or have fun proving that they're not.
And finally, Mike.
Hi, Greg. I'm Mike Garabedian, and I am the lead of the SteelScript development team under our advanced technology group, and happy to be here.
Thank you. Thank you. So without further ado, let's launch right into big idea number one for today's show. Now, Riverbed is the corporate sponsor of the Wireshark project. Brad, what does that mean?
Well, you know, it really means that we support, as a company, all the back end and all the things that to maintain the community project. So it really made a lot of sense for Riverbed when we bought Case Technology to bring the Wireshark.org sponsorship underneath Riverbed and continue the community development effort. It was good for Riverbed and it was good for the community as a whole.
Wireshark is one of the critical tools, right? We all know how to use it. I've probably spent far too much time in it over the years, but packet capture is really my specialist tool of last resort. Packet capture isn't the first thing you do. It's the thing you do when you can't use other tools to do it. So where does Riverbed's position on Wireshark, where does Fireshark fit into your product portfolio?
You know, we really use it as the same type of tool. So it's a tool of last resort. And we built the functionality into it with our other monitoring tools that we have in place. So NetShark and NetProfiler and so on and so forth, so that you can start at a very high level of looking at data and then drill down into Wireshark and make it, instead of having to, you know, Greg, we've both been through it of going through and having a 20 gig capture and trying to load that into Wireshark. And, you know, you start to load it, you go to lunch, you drink two beers, you come back, you go drink two more beers, then you come back and start your parsing. So with the tools that we have in place now, you can just get the data that's interesting, load that into Wireshark and get an immediate result. So by combining all the tools together, it makes it really easy.
So what you're saying is you're using my Riverbed appliances as a packet capture engine for Wireshark, and you've got the capabilities to use a similar sort of setup as Wireshark. Is Wireshark in the product?
That's right. So we have Wireshark within the Steelhead appliance, and then we have these big network DVRs. So we have Shark appliances that are missing the wire. So it just sits there, and it records and records and records up to several hundred terabytes of information. And then using our packet analysis tool, we can narrow down into micro-level search data and then just get out of that multi-terabyte data set the 11 packets that we're interested in looking at.
So you're kind of saying Wireshark's turning into a nuclear option here. You can actually not just capture packets with the cable in your laptop. You can start to say, all of my Riverbed appliances can be capture engines, but then maybe I want to take it a step further and capture packets for weeks on end from what you're saying, so I can now scale up to an appliance which is all the way around my network.
Absolutely. So imagine yourself as an administrator, and from a security perspective or a security administrator, you have an exploit that happens on your network, is to be able to roll that tape back in time and look and know, well, we had an event that happened at this time period to that time period, and narrow it down and look at the exact exploit that happened and be able to decode those packets and do that in a couple of minutes instead of a couple of months.
Okay, yeah, that's important. So this tool has like a whole interface. Does it look like Wireshark? So if I'm Wireshark ready, maybe I've, you know, been to the Wireshark conferences or done some Wireshark training. Does it work that way? Is it the same sort of interface?
Yeah, so it has a similar interface as Wireshark. So what it lets you do is the packet analyst tool allows you to connect to Shark Appliance, pull the specific microflows that you want out of it. And then when you see the flow data, so the 11 packets that I'm interested in, you export that to Wireshark. It creates an on-the-fly PCAP file that it feeds into Wireshark and then starts Wireshark as a separate application. So then you have the full packet level decode capabilities that load into Wireshark. You can see everything that's going on from a protocol level.
Okay, so Shark Appliance then. Big box, lots of internal storage, I'm assuming, that, and like you said, like a network DVR?
That's exactly what it is.
Okay.
And it's scalable too. So we have it in place so that it's, you have Shark Appliance and then you can add multiple storage chassis onto it so you can expand it out. So it can be this humongous data capture point. So if you are routing data at 40 gigs or you're routing data, you know, multiple 10 gig links or whatever, we're able to ingest that in real time and keep a significant backlog of data so that, you know, even on really high-speed networks, you have several days worth.
Speaking of the speed, what are the speeds that this appliance can capture data at?
So we can capture data on multiple 10 gig interfaces that plug into it. So right now we're limited to 10 gig, and we can span ports into Shark Appliance, using either some port aggregation tool or directly span ports off the network.
And then now we've got a data at rest challenge versus a payment card environment that might have credit card data embedded in some of the packet payloads. Is there a encryption option there?
Cool, I'll jump on that. So typically in a PCI environment, great example, same thing in HIPAA or any other regulatory area where you've got sensitive information, personally identifiable information, you know, that data should be encrypted on the wire. If it's not encrypted on the wire, that's already a bad practice. So if it's encrypted on the wire, we write it to disk encrypted, and then with a separate set of permissions and access to the SSL certificate, it is possible for an admin to decode those packets. And in fact, even within the decode, we offer further granularity to offer payload masking such that we can actually quite literally hide over someone's name, because the name itself isn't important when you're doing the packet analysis. So there's a lot of different layers of granular control to keep that data private with unique password access at each step.
So pattern matching and then obfuscation of whatever it is that matches the pattern.
Exactly. We do store the original packets on the disk as they were seen on the wire. So as long as they're encrypted on the wire, they're stored on the disk encrypted. But when we go to display that back for analysis, we can still obfuscate to maintain privacy.
Okay, so that makes sense. Now, Brad, tell me a little bit more about these appliances. I haven't heard too much about this idea of capturing Wireshark data using appliances. And I know I used to do this years ago, and there's been a market for this going around for some time. But what do those appliances look like? 1RU, 2RU, power?
So they're rack-mount appliances, and so they're stackable. So you can have the initial box that has all the brains in it, and you can add additional disk units to it, and I believe it's a 3U, so they go in, they're vertical based disk units that load multiple stacks. So think of it, you know, if we go way back in time, and if you're old as dirt like you and I are, we go back and we remember the whole sniffer and distributed sniffer system and how big and massive that was, is that we're able to take that now, that type technology, bring it down to a very fair and reasonable price point and allow people to have multi-terabyte capture capabilities in their data center, as well as capture capabilities at the edge with Steelhead appliance. And you're able to pull all that together with the packet analysis tool and then pull specific flow data from our packet level data from that into Wireshark.
Now, these appliances aren't free as in open and beer and puppy like Wireshark, right?
No, they're not free. We all want free and a free pony, but they're really reasonably priced appliances. So, you know, they start in the thousands of dollars, and depending upon how much storage is attached to it, they go up in price. So even in small base shops, you're able to put one of these smaller based capture appliances in and capture, you know, 8, 10, 15 terabytes, as well as we have virtual appliances that run inside of VMware. So you can span port off of your VMware host And also the other cool thing about the virtual version is it allows you to capture packets on your VLANs between virtual hosts. So you can now capture
VM to VM traffic.
VM to VM traffic within the host.
That's pretty cool. So I think the key point here is, when do I need to move from the free Wireshark offering? When would I start looking at these commercial options for Wireshark usage in my organization? What's the trigger points? What's the use case?
The real trigger point is that you want to be proactive or reactive to network issues. So if you have a proactive approach, you'll go ahead and look at putting this appliance in, because what it does is, you know, it's very much a recorder. So now you have, instead of like, oh, there's an issue with my application and let me go set up my Wireshark box and span the port, wait for it to happen again, is that when someone calls and says there's an issue, you can immediately now go back into the Shark appliance, pull the data that's interesting and determine what the problem is.
Mm. I think also in the back of my mind, I'm thinking in DMZs, where as data moves down through those demilitarized zones and runs through proxy servers and things, and you're wanting to look at how a piece of malware came in, you could actually run back and see the packet flow and then decode it in Wireshark while you zoom in on that specific malware attack. That sounds like a use case that I can imagine.
Absolutely.
Okay, let's also jump back to open source Wireshark in the community. You've got a conference called Sharkfest. Tell me a bit about that.
So, you know, Sharkfest is where all the open source developers and Sharkfest users get together underneath one roof, have a big kumbaya for several days, get uber geeky on Wireshark and hear from some of the experts, like, you know, like Hansung Bae, who's Riverbed CTO and one of the best packet analysis people on the planet. I get to hear directly from him, interact, take classes, eat dinner. It's a lot of fun for packet heads, and it really drives a lot of the creativity that goes around the solutions that end up in Wireshark as a product.
So Sharkfest, not a free event. You pay to go because it costs money to hire venues and bring people in, right?
That's right.
Riverbed, still a sponsor of that.
That's right. We write a big check every year, help subsidize the event. It's still really reasonable when you look at some of these events that you go to. You know, they're $5,000 to $7,000, and this is a whole lot less than that. And I think that the level of knowledge and detail that you get out of it is a lot of bang for your training dollar.
And if I can jump in with one little point there, Sharkfest is the only conference I've ever been to where even the presenters go to each other's classes, right? There's no single expert in every part of packet analysis. And so there might be a guy presenting on using Wireshark for security. He's going to sit in on someone else's class on using Wireshark for performance analysis. And that guy is going to sit on a specialized class about doing voice over IP analysis or something like that. I mean, it's a huge learning community, and everybody's talks are just absolutely top notch.
Mm-hmm. I personally am a huge fan of smaller, more focused conferences. You know, I've had the luxury of being able to attend a lot of the big vendor conferences, and they're great. They have great content, but I'm much more of a fan of these smaller conferences where you can actually chat to the speakers, and it's often easy to find people to talk to. And their events are actually a lot more relaxed and a lot more fun to participate in. So maybe we should put that on the conference agenda for next year, Ethan.
I would love to. It's been on my list for quite a while. I keep looking at it, looking at the calendar, going, oh, you know, Laura Chappelle, another big name that is there and well known as a teacher.
You guys come to Sharkfest, I'll buy you beers.
that's a threat, not a promise. Big idea number two. Let's shift the conversation along to SteelScript. Now, Mike, first of all, why don't you give us a quick intro into what SteelScript is?
Sure. So SteelScript is really kind of a family of our API and automation toolkit products. As part of that open source commitment that Riverbed has, we've also embedded a number of APIs into all of our products. And so those APIs are accessible through, you know, really just any means that you would connect to a normal HTTPS port. And we have documentation in order to extract information and connect and what those APIs, the documentation of those APIs. In addition to that, we've built on top of those APIs Python SDK, which makes it a little bit simpler to access all that information. We have products or packages oriented towards each of our commercial products, NetShark in particular, like we were just talking about with Brad, as well as Wireshark, NetProfiler, and really our whole family of products. So between the APIs themselves on our products, the SDK in order to connect and extract and manipulate information, we also have an app framework or an analysis toolkit. So really the family of these three types of items, you know, make up the SteelScript.
I mean, I know we've talked a lot about SDN over the years, but this is sort of like the APIs that anybody can use to access your products.
Absolutely. We have our documentation out there. You can see how to connect to a NetShark and get the version information, how to create a view, download PCAPs. You can do all of this right out of the box, literally, by writing your own scripts, whether it's in Perl or whatever language is your language of choice.
Now, a lot of companies who have these types of scripting languages or these APIs in their equipment, they also have a community built around them. Have you got one of those?
We do. We have all of our, so we were talking before about open source. So all of the SDK and app framework components are completely open source. So they're free to download, free to use, and they're posted up on GitHub so that you can fork the information and send some pull requests back if it's something that you're interested in. But we also have a community on our support site called splash.riverbed.com. And so under that site, you can ask questions and work with the larger community of people that have come up with similar solutions.
Now, SteelScript is strictly for Riverbed appliances, or is there a use case for SteelScript outside of the Riverbed ecosystem?
So it actually has a broad use. Primarily, it's meant for interacting with our devices. However, we also have, in particular, a package for Wireshark. So everything that we've been talking about for Wireshark, we have an interface in order to automate that whole process. So between that package and some of the other common libraries we have that can be used in a broader sense, it definitely has wider applicability.
So talk about SteelScript in conjunction with Wireshark. Does that mean I can do things like programmatically kick off a packet capture in reaction to an event, or what are the use cases there?
So right now we have a more straightforward use cases of or interacting with an existing PCAP. So you can get basic info about what that PCAP, you know, the status of that PCAP, or you can use it as a query mechanism. So you can, through Python code, just write up a short script to say, given this particular PCAP, pull out this sets of data, you know, use this particular filter, really automate that part of the process using the underlying T-Shark binary.
So if I want to use SteelScript today, how do I install it?
Once you get the latest Python 2 version installed on your computer, it's a simple pip install SteelScript away. So you pip install SteelScript, that will download the core base SteelScript, and now you'll have a little steel command that you can do to install additional packages. Or if you want to get started with just the Wireshark package, you can do pip install steelscript.wireshark, and that will install Wireshark along with its dependencies. And now you'll also have that steel command, and you can do a steel make workspace, and that will bring some example scripts for you that can help you get started.
I'm looking at your website here, and there's actually been some competitions to get people to contribute scripts and to share them. And I'm looking at the winners one. It's actually pretty cool.
Yeah, we had we did have a competition. We're actually talking about setting another one of those up because we did have some good success with that, getting some good ideas out there. So really, SteelScript also is meant to be this way of addressing the long tail of user requirements. So, you know, we build our products with, you know, fantastic use cases in mind, with great user interfaces that cover, you know, a wide variety of you know, anything that a particular organization may need. However, every organization is unique. So everybody has their own workflow, their own way of doing things. And so through automation, which is what SteelScript really sort of brings to the table, you can take a particular case that you may have, which either our products don't support or just a combination of activities that you want to automate, and you can write that down in a programmatic script and, you know, get the repeatability benefit out of the box with that.
I'm just looking, just to pick on this for a little bit, the winner has actually used SteelScript to create internet traffic reports based on BGP AS number. So he's actually captured packets, found the BGP autonomous system number, and then started to generate traffic reports per AS using SteelScript, which is, I think that's an interesting demonstration of the capabilities of like scripting generally, but SteelScript in specific.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's also demonstrating how we can you know, use SteelScript to really tie between the products that we have too. You can pull packet captures, you can do analysis from that NetShark device that's sitting out there and monitoring at the packet level everything that's going on. And you can extract information from there and then in turn go to our NetProfiler device, for instance, and get a wider picture view. Or you could go the other way, which is probably, you know, more typical, where you're running a report against NetProfiler, getting a big picture view, finding some areas of interest, some particular port ranges or IP numbers, and then you can switch over and take that information into a NetShark and run a very targeted script and get some, you know, specific information out of that.
All right, and it's important to remember in the shows what we've done with Riverbed elsewhere is that Riverbed is also has a portfolio of products around application performance management and network performance management. That's via an acquisition of a product family that used to be known as Cascade and OpNet, which were the big end, you know, network monitoring stuff. But you're talking about being able to integrate, say, this, you know, the network performance management tools with the packet capture tools or the, you know, the NetShark or the anything across the whole portfolio could come together into a unified thing, I guess.
On the NPM side, yes. Our APM side, we still are working towards getting some the API portion embedded, although we hope to have a better solution to that later this year. But with NetShark and NetProfiler from our NPM side, we absolutely have, you know, APIs and first-class SteelScript SDK support. So you can really automate quite a lot as part of that interface. In fact, on the NetShark side, we have this packet analyzer, which is the native client, which can give you very rich visualization of live views and activities that are taking place, as well as way that you can do interactive analysis. And everything, all of those interactions from that client to the NetShark appliance itself, all use this REST interface. So the full power of everything we have in that client can be done through a programmatic interface.
Okay, now what about if I'm working in the financial industry? They are very heavy on the packet side. Have we got something in that area that can relate to that market?
Absolutely. We've been working with them very closely. A number of their decodes aren't necessarily something that we can support natively in NetShark. However, with Wireshark, we have incredible flexibility, obviously. So we can do PCAP downloads from a NetShark that's monitoring a particular interface and push that into Wireshark, extract the data out, and then programmatically break down the decodes that they have, the protocols that they have, and extract data and do very fine-grained analysis through that. So we've done that in a number of cases, and it's a very successful implementation.
So let me just decode that a little bit further. Wireshark has the ability to write your own packet filters in the Lua language, if I remember right, correct?
That's correct.
Right. So the financial people have their own protocols that are often quite specific or unique. So they write their own protocol decoders in Wireshark, and you're then using that feature and integrating it with NetShark appliances to be able to capture packets in bulk, pass them to Wireshark to get the custom decoder, and then pass them up to Network Performance Monitor Manager to be able to say, show me the performance of those applications as they run.
That's correct. For the last part, we would do the analysis. We could absolutely pass that information to, you know, any further source. And we can also, instead of using the any decode written in Wireshark Lua, we can also write some of that in Python as well. Get the raw packet info, packet data out of Wireshark, and then with Python, just pull out some bits and pieces where we know there may be fixed values.
Now, when you talk about capturing packets, you don't just always do it by putting an appliance in the path. Sometimes there's a range of network packet broker appliances, and these are custom devices like that do span ports but take it to a much bigger level. Tools like Gigamon, VSS, AppCon, who look like network taps all over the network. How integrated are you with those products?
We do a bunch of integrations with those types of vendors, not just the mainstream tap vendors you mentioned, but also the open flow types like Arista and Big Switch and other white boxes. And we kind of offer two things there. One is we honor their high resolution, high precision timestamping on the network, which can be very important for that financial analysis that you and Mike were just talking about. But the other thing we do that can be kind of cool is I might have aggregating in one of those devices 100, even more than 100, 10 gig links. Clearly, even our biggest, baddest Shark capture appliance can't capture 500 gig per second and stream it to disk. So what will often have happen is tying together the SteelScript APIs in the specific NOC or SOC workflows, an operator will say, I need to see these packets. Using tools Mike and his team have written within SteelScript, it'll reach out to the Gigamon, the VSS, the Inui, the whomever, say, hey, I know it's on this port, redirect that traffic into the NetShark right now. And so all of a sudden, we can very dynamically control those packet brokers to steer the traffic we're interested in to the capture appliance that the analyst can very quickly zoom in through Shark, through its workflow, right into Wireshark to, these are the 11 packets I want out of the 300 different links I have on my network. So great way to tie the two together and make it very operationally easy to do.
It also gives you a lot of flexibility there because you're doing the scripting to some extent yourself. You can actually change the way it works. But most of the heavy lifting is done. So SteelScript does most of the heavy lifting, and you're really just doing 20% of the work, and SteelScript's doing the 80%.
That's right. And of course, you got to remember in most NOCs and SOCs, you've got a lot of level one, maybe level two engineers there. They may not be able to do the packet analysis the way a level four engineer can, but they still want to get the process started. So having a script in front of them, where they just key in a problem on this part of the network is occurring and it automatically goes out, redirects the traffic, captures the packets, bundles it up into a ticket, you now just took what could have been 30 minutes to an hour worth of work, did it in 30 seconds to 60 seconds. So great time savings and automation really allows for scale in these operation centers.
Automation in networking, it's a thing, people. It's a thing. Let's move on to big idea number three. So Charles, Riverbed has applications within the security market. Now, we all know that security is the topic du jour. Everybody's all fussed about security these days. So lead me off as to where Riverbed applies in the security market.
Riverbed's traditionally known as within the availability and performance market, right? Making things faster on the WAN, troubleshooting on the WAN or LAN. But security is kind of the flip side of that coin. If the application's hacked or compromised or there's no data integrity, who cares how fast it is? So we've always kind of viewed these as similar disciplines, but they're often worked on by very different users and different workflows. And the commonality that we focus in on is everybody still needs packets. Everybody still needs flow. That's the basis of all both security and performance analysis. And since we're capturing those packets, right, we just talked about what you can do with NetShark and Wireshark. And since we're capturing that NetFlow data, which can be generated by those packet brokers or switches and routers natively, why not build the workflows, federate that data out, and let everybody get the benefits of, I only have to collect the stuff once? Because even though we like to say our stuff is very affordable, I know Brad said it cost a little more than a loaf of bread, a little bit less than a Ferrari, we still want to be able to maximize what companies are spending on these tools.
Now that I'm able to use my Riverbed appliances as data aggregation points, and I possibly have a network which has a number of Riverbed appliances throughout of it, what can I take out of the network that I would have otherwise had to abort? Like, to put security in, I have to usually put something in the flow. What does Riverbed have for me then?
Right. And this is a great thing. So now you keep saying the Riverbed appliances, and I have to correct you on that one because that's like very old school. A lot of our customers say that, but I think what you're referring to is the Riverbed Steelhead appliances, which are the WANOP boxes.
Yeah.
The cool thing with those is we have 26,000 plus customers, a couple hundred thousand of those boxes out there. Every one of those boxes is a distributed telemetry point and a distributed packet capture point. So all of a sudden, instead of lugging that legacy, network sniffer that was running on that big old compact that weighed about 60 pounds, instead of lugging that out branch to branch to do some packet capture, you can just take the Steelhead, which is already in your branch, connect into it with our packet analyzer tool, and start capturing packets within that branch. Either users hitting a server in the branch or even users going direct to the internet. So suddenly you have distributed packet capture everywhere for deep dive security analysis.
So because that appliance is in the flow of traffic, you're saying that that typically is interesting because it's coming from branch to headquarters. That's a really good place to capture traffic. And there's a piece here I'm missing. There's an interface on that appliance that I can talk to and then capture packets from it?
Exactly. The auxiliary port on every steelhead, even on the virtual steelheads that you run on your own hardware, there's a software auxiliary port that you can span traffic from the branch office to that auxiliary port and capture that traffic as well. So you get the benefits of distributed capture everywhere, but you can still use your native Wireshark for analysis. So plugs right in your workflow. Huge, huge cost savings for customers.
Part of the magic, I guess, of bringing this together is going to come back to what we just talked about before, which is SteelScript.
Exactly. So the way I usually talk to enterprises about deploying this would be something like what follows here. At every one of my distributed points out there, every one of my steelheads, I set up a capture job. Now, keep in mind, the steelheads don't have the 500 plus terabytes we can put in a data center of available storage. They have, you know, up to maybe 2 terabytes of storage. So what we'll do is we'll set a continuous ring buffer capturing on every steelhead, and it's just running 24/7. It doesn't matter if that steelhead has 500 megs or 2 terabytes, it just runs in loops. Now, when my SIM or my IPS in my data center says, hey, I think I just saw something bad, using SteelScript, we automatically reach out to the steelhead and we say, hey, go and snapshot, save off to the side of the disk all the packets that relate to this alert, and let's do it 5 minutes before the alert started, which is huge that we can get the data leading up to an attack, through 5 minutes after the attack, and just save those packets off on the side. Don't even download them across the WAN to the data center, because 90% of the time we're not even going to want it.
So because the Steelhead appliance is constantly spooling to that local 2 terabytes of storage, that's what gives you that historical element. You can where you can say go back 5 minutes in time, or however
exactly.
I assume that's programmable, however long you want to go back in time to grab everything, and hopefully you can find the beginning actual event and then end of whatever the attack is.
Exactly. It's a variable timer. I just said 5 minutes because, you know, that's usually enough. But you might want to go back to, if it's SSL traffic, make sure you've got the start of the handshake, things like that. And then just save it off on the side out in the branch. Because you can imagine that the SIM or the IPS might be generating, you know, tens, even hundreds of alerts per day, most of which an analyst is going to close out pretty quickly and say, no, I know why that happened. That's a false alarm. I'm going to get coffee and just close that one and pretend it didn't happen.
Seen that one a thousand times before.
Yeah, exactly. But then when you get a couple that are interesting, now you go ahead, you grab that PCAP, which was locked and saved to the side, download it to your desktop, pop it open in Wireshark, and you can really start to go through and say, okay, I see exactly what happened. This is basically all free value add on top of those steelheads. I mean, you're more than welcome to buy our tools and put a copy in every branch. The sales guys would love that. But most people are going to say that's not really cost effective. But hey, if I have a steelhead and this is a freebie, then it's a total no-brainer.
Now, as far as the integration between an IPS, SIEM, am I writing those integrations as the customer, or are there partnerships you've established?
You know, the foundation of it was written by Mike and his team, kind of some of those base scripts to go and grab packets, lock the jobs, things like that. The final integrations with different SIEMs, you know, these are things that we're really pushing on the community to say, hey, has anyone written this with Splunk? Has anyone written this with ArcSight, with McAfee, with whomever? And we're slowly doing those ourselves, but we're always looking for people in the community to really say, hey, that's what I use, and I'm going to jump on that and really continue to refine that script.
And I guess that means security people tend to have a standard process to respond to an incident. You can kind of wedge this into whatever that process is.
Yeah, that is really key because, again, hundreds of these alerts happening per day. It's all about, you know, just shaving a minute off of every one of those tickets. And so whatever the process is, we'll slide in there, use the scripting in order to make it, you don't even have to change your workflow. We're just going to shave some steps right out and automate the heck out of it.
Maybe you know what you're looking for too. Maybe you've got an employee that's acting maliciously, or people think something's going on and you've been tasked to investigate. That's the sort of thing where you just need a very narrow tool, and you can use your existing tools to give you that. You're not doing a capture everything type of moment.
That's correct. And in fact, if you want to get really crazy, the Steelhead technology we have, there's also a mobile client which would install on Windows or Mac, you know, PCs, so when users are at home, they get optimization. There's actually a hidden packet capture capability in that as well. So you can actually capture the traffic right on the user's notebook. Mm-hmm. So if you're suspect that they are downloading corporate assets and then funneling them out the back door somewhere, you don't even have to necessarily grab it on a network DMARC. You can grab it right on their notebook, again, because that functionality is part of everything that says Steel in the front. So Steelhead Mobile has captures.
So just to quickly explain Steelhead Mobile to people, just in case you haven't heard of that before.
The same exact WAN optimization technology that we have in our Steelhead appliances exists in this mobile software client that you put on your Windows or Mac. And so if I'm a traveling road warrior, I'm sitting in Singapore and I'm trying to download a PowerPoint from the US, instead of having to deal with the lengthy, latency-driven SIFS download, the Steelhead WAN optimization code right on my notebook now says, oh, I've already seen most of that presentation before. All I need to do is grab the diffs and compress that data and suck it on down to my notebook. So
you get all the advantages of a WAN accelerator on the laptop.
Exactly.
And using the CPU and memory of the laptop give you a one-person acceleration capability.
Yeah, and it's great because, like, all the time, you know, I'll let someone else make a PowerPoint presentation for me to hand in. Mm-hmm. I'll download it from them, change Brad's name to my name, and then re-upload it. And instead of having to download 50 megs and then upload 50 megs, you know, even if I had to download the 50, I just change Brad to Charles, re-upload it. Now it's like a 10K upload, so huge time savings.
I just don't think too many people would have heard about that. That's why I just wanted you to. It's one of those things, that if you've heard about it, you know about it. And if you don't, you've never heard about it before. Charles, let's go through some customer use cases. What are some of your customers doing with this technology?
So most of the biggest financial savings to be realized is recognizing that the network team and the security team don't both need to buy packets, don't both need to buy NetFlow tools. And since security people are always a little bit cagey, I'm going to be very sensitive on names here, and I'm just going to say one of our biggest financial customers out there, they're actually a public exchange, for years had one set of tools that was packet capture and NetFlow for security, and another set of tools from a different manufacturer that was packet capture and NetFlow for network performance and availability management. They were quite literally spending tens of millions of dollars a year with us and another vendor in order to accomplish that. And after years of working and working and showing how we could bridge that divide, making sure we had the right workflows, we were able to take over both sides of the house there. And the cost savings was extremely bottom line focused. It wasn't a soft ROI. It was a very hard, you no longer have to pay support and maintenance and training for two products. So great way to save money. As well as you get a lot less finger pointing. When you've got separate tools, everybody blames the other guy. My tool's green, my tool's green.
And it also takes, now you've got two sets of things you have to know, two sets of things you have to operate, two sets of licenses, two sets of maintenance contracts. If you can streamline it, generally that's better.
Absolutely.
And so, you know, being able to use what you have is always easier than trying to deploy something, well, not always better, but often better. I shouldn't be so unequivocal about these things.
The only downside of it is for most customers, is you've now just eliminated an extra dinner per year.
That means I can get two out of you instead.
That's it.
That's how it works. All right. So I think we've gone through the three big ideas that Riverbed want to bring. So I'm just going to recap them. Big idea number one, Riverbed is a corporate sponsor of Wireshark, but they've taken Wireshark and amped it up into NetShark and a range of appliances that you can distribute around your network. Big idea number two, SteelScript, which is a unified sort of API and scripting tool chain that you can use to start turning your Riverbed appliances into automation exercises in your network. It's not just about automating routers and switches, it's also about automating at the application layer, and SteelScript is what Riverbed is doing. You should go and have a check it out. I've been poking around inside of the GitHub and also in their community, and there's some really interesting starting points in there. Big idea number three, Riverbed applies to security. So if you've got Riverbed in your network, or maybe you want to put more Riverbed into your network to get more security, we've thrown out a whole bunch of ideas around how you can apply more security to your network using Riverbed and its range of appliances. So thanks for following us on Packet Pushers today, and let's thank our guests for being here. Brad, please tell the audience where they can find you on the internet and a little about what you want to talk about.
Well, if you haven't yet, you can check out our previous podcast with you guys, Packet Pushers, by visiting riverbed.com/packetpushers. While there, take advantage of our very cool free t-shirt offer we've put together for our listeners. Simply complete the form on the page and we'll email you more info on the t-shirt, along with some selected materials about security, steel scripts, and topics from our previous podcasts. Once again, that's riverbed.com/packetpushers. In addition, Riverbed is hosting a webinar series on our best practice packet analysis and troubleshooting techniques using Wireshark. This series, which kicked off this month, features Riverbed CTO and fellow packet analysis guru, Hansong Bae. All hail Hansong. You can now find links and more information on the webinars at www.wireshark.org.
Boy, Brad, it's almost like that was written out for you. Why?
I know. I don't know how I came up with that.
Yeah, very well memorized, Brad. Fantastic. And what about Twitter and websites? Anything personal you want to plug?
You can follow us on at Riverbed, Riverbed on Facebook. You can. I think the only thing I haven't seen yet is Riverbed Instagrams, because looking at hardware is not too sexy.
I disagree.
Charles, let's do it with you.
I guess I'd like to remind everyone, Riverbed is the corporate sponsor of SharkFest 2016, the educational conference for Wireshark users. And SharkFest is going to be this June. I'll be there. Hansung will be there. We'll be participating as instructors, doing all kinds of packet analysis for everybody. So if you're interested, go to sharkfest.wireshark.org for more details. And of course, Gerald Combs, father of Wireshark, will be there. And he is an awesome guy to meet.
We've had him on the show many, many years ago. And yes, you're right. He is awesome. And Mike?
Happy to be here. Thanks for letting me share a little bit about SteelScript with you guys. For folks that are out there, just check our SteelScript support site, supportriverbed.com/APIs, or we'll list all of the API documentation that we talked about. And if you go one more down that list, /SteelScript, that's our actual documentation there. We're also on GitHub, github.com/riverbed. And there you'll see all of our SteelScript packages and our open source projects that are listed. So looking forward for any feedback that folks have. This is not a static environment, so we're actively looking for input that anybody might have, and look forward to seeing what comes of that. Thank you.
And thanks for listening to the Packet Pushers today. You can find this and many more fine, free technical podcasts along with our community blog at packetpushers.net. Follow us on Twitter as @packetpushers. Find us on LinkedIn, like us on Facebook, and rate us on iTunes. And last but not least, remember that too much networking would never be enough.